141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hello and welcome to Tuesday night's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It is me, Stephen Mill, in for Gordon Duncan. Tonight's main focus obviously will be Scotland's final group Euro 2020 qualifier against Kazakhstan at Hampden. We'll get to the National Stadium in just a wee second. We'll also cast our eyes on our possible playoff opponents in March. The draw for that is this coming Friday. We could have a wee chat about who might be replacing Craig Levine in the Hearts hot seat as well. Whether a loss in the League Cup final for Rangers might derail the title challenge as well. Some chat about that today. And if Johnny Hayes is worth a new contract at Celtic as well. As ever, we want to hear from you. 0141 951 1025 is the number, and at Clyde SSB on Twitter. It is Roger Hanna and Gordon DL in the studio with me, and also at the National Stadium we have Alison Conroy. I'm sure you've got your wee portable heater tonight, Alison. It's a cold one, isn't it?
Yes, it's absolutely freezing. You know it's cold when they've actually gritted the gantry here at Hampden. So absolutely freezing. I do have a heater, but I'm not switching on yet. Don't want to peak too soon.
Yeah.
Remember, tonight it's all about that momentum word, building momentum for Scotland against Kazakhstan ahead of that Euro 2020 playoff semi-final. They can, of course, make 3 wins in a row tonight to finish third in Group I. And although Steve Clarke says it's not about revenge, there will be a little bit of that looking for that, obviously, after that 3-0 defeat to Kazakhstan back in March at the beginning of this campaign, which probably derailed it from the very beginning. Kickoff here at a very, very cold Hampden is 7:45. I'll bring you the team as soon as I get it, Stephen.
Yeah, we'll come back to you when you have the team. Any idea about what the crowd might be tonight, Alison? You heard any whispers about how big it might be or small?
I haven't, but if you give me 2 seconds, there is a man right behind me that's going to know the answer.
All right, okay.
So if you give me 2 seconds, I'm going to shout on him. 2 seconds.
Right, okay, go for it.
Go, shout. Live on here.
I thought Alison was going to say, if you give me 2 seconds, I'll count them.
How does the guy know? Can you not walk up and pay tonight?
There you go. Are you ready?
Go
about
ahead, go
20, for it. About 20,000.
20,000?
That's what they're saying. They're thinking similar to San Marino, but there you go. Straight. You ask a question, I give you the answer.
21,472, you'd been told that, hadn't you?
I had that written down just in case it was a full-time teaser. Let me just say, I've got to say, well done to the Scotland fan. I'm devastated we were going to do the programme there tonight, unfortunately, with Gordon and everything, and Roger and I are completely devastated being in the hot studio listening to Alison there soaking up the atmosphere.
You're gutted.
But yeah. I was actually on a flight today, and this is true, there was 2 or 3 Scottish guys who had just come back from Cyprus and making their way straight to Hampden. How is that for loyalty?
That's dedication.
I actually wonder if we can get out here just get before there quickly. 8 o'clock, buzz over quick, by the start of the second half, we can be in the house.
Alison, thank you very much. We'll come back to you very soon, pal, with the teams. Hang on there, put your heater on. It sounds like a cold one out there. So yeah, it is the main focus tonight. Roger Hanna, it is a dead rubber. All eyes are on the playoffs this coming March. What can we get out tonight? What's the apart from just getting over and done with?
Listen, there's no such thing as a dead rubber when it comes to Scotland games. 20,000 people will tell you that at Hampden today. Back-to-back wins. It is only San Marino and Cyprus. And when it's 3 wins in a trot, we'll say it was just San Marino and Cyprus and Kazakhstan. But there's a little bit of momentum getting built. I actually, you know, I read a lot of the reports for the game at the weekend, and, you know, it was just a win in Cyprus, but it was a decent performance. It was better towards the end of the campaign, that it had been that horrible start in Kazakhstan back in March, as Alison said. And if we've got a home game in March against an Israel or Bulgaria or a Romania, if we can get this bit of momentum, why can't we get all the way to a playoff final?
Gordon DL, what are you thinking?
Nah, I'm not going with that.
No.
I think it's a nothing game apart from, you know, guys that, like Ryan Jack, I hope he gets another game tonight. You know, you'll get Taylor in at left back. We're missing all our big hitters. This is nothing to do. Our biggest game now is in March, and we cannot prepare for March with the squad that we've got, because guaranteed all the big hitters will be back in March. So apart from tonight, 20,000 people, and well done to them, and maybe more, going along to support the country, I think it's all about hopefully getting a result to finish third in the table. But I like to see guys getting not just one game, get them in there, give them an opportunity, give them a chance to shine, give them a chance to put a bit of pressure onto the manager. But take that out of the equation, it's certainly not one that's exciting.
You say big hitters though, other than the captain, Andy Robertson, who's guaranteed to come back in if he's fit. Of the guys missing this time, I think who's going to come back?
I think Tierney will be back.
Where do you play him?
Well, that's not my job, Roger. My job's in here trying to guide you in the right direction. That's up to Stevie Clark. It's a great point, and I'll tell you what, it does open a great, argument or debate, shall we say, between the Scottish fans. Because let's face it, Robertson's the number one left back.
Well, you're a big fan of McTominay.
Yeah.
Who does McTominay oust to get back in the team?
Well, I don't think Ryan Jack will be a starter. I'm delighted he's given his opportunity. I wasn't too excited like you over the Cyprus game. I didn't feel excitement. I didn't feel the love. But it's all about getting the results. And tonight's the same. And I hope Ryan Jack is another one. But for me, McTominay comes right into the team. I think he's one of our best midfield players. McGinn's a certainty as well. McGregor will probably come in there. So if everyone's fit, Roger, then I certainly see that being the nucleus of the midfield.
Again, Shankland is out. He picked up a wee niggly injury, obviously didn't play in the Cyprus game. And Eamon Brophy has come in. I thought, as a Scotland fan and witnessed Eamon Brophy playing for Scotland, that was going to be his one and only cap, but he's back in the squad. Does that just sort of tell you the lack of options we have forward?
Unfortunately, I've got a hip injury. And my boots don't fit me now. I'm not being disrespectful. Any guy that goes and wins a cap for his country, congratulations to him. It's a great honour for him. Is he the one to lead us forward? In my opinion, no. But the manager's worked with him at club level, knows his strengths, knows his weaknesses, knows everything about the boy. Yeah, we're short in that department. See, so that's the reason why he's in. I don't think he'll start tonight. It'll be interesting to see who starts.
Naismith, again?
Yeah, well, he's not had a lot of game time, Roger. So I think it's an opportunity to get him another, 70 minutes under his belt, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. As I say, I would love to see Ryan Jack again, Taylor again. Does Gallagher get another, Declan Gallagher get another opportunity at centre back? That's what I'm saying. I don't like the fact that you just throw these guys in for one game and then they're back out. This is an opportunity to say, look, you're going to get the two games. There you go. Show me what you can do.
I'd pick the same team. If they're fit. Yeah. If there's no niggles about Naismith or anyone else, I'd just pick the same team.
Steve Clark did say in his press conference yesterday that there was no injury concerns ahead of tonight. Let's go to the lines then and speak to our first caller of the night. It's William in Craigend. You are on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. What would you like to say to the panel, William?
Hello, how you doing, guys? You okay?
Hi, William. Hi, William.
It's just to talk about Scotland. I think I've got a wee bugbear with Scotland. You see players playing out of positions like Forrest the other night, and probably like Christie the other night as well. Playing Forrest on the left hand side to me didn't really suit him. It took something away from his game. I think when you talk about McBurney and whoever would go up front, I think McBurney needs somebody alongside him for me. And see, when you're talking about Robertson Tierney, that should have been sorted out for me, and it's no been because Tierney's no been available. Nobody ever talks about Robertson playing at right back and Tierney coming in at left back. So I hate, and a wee point about Steve Clark.
William, can I stop you there before you go on? Right, you've just come on with a comment saying about Forrest playing in the different wing. And it doesn't suit him. Right. And then you've went on to say, well, nobody's speaking about Robert. Robertson is one of the best left backs in the world just now. So you don't swap him. You keep him where he is. You've got to, it's square pegs and round holes don't work for me. I where do you come on with your point? Yeah, I totally agree. I think Forrest effective off the right hand side. Robertson got to play left back for me. You've got to fit your best players in their strongest positions. You can't now say, well, hold on a minute, I do believe that Tierney's got to get in the team somewhere, where it's at left centre back, where I'd be quite happy to play him. I don't think he can play in one in front. I'm not too sure about the right back position, but I think you've got to get your best players in their best positions. And then if you have to move one or two, fine, don't move your best players.
Do you not think that was just a tactical thing on Saturday? Forrest a predominantly right-footed player on the left, Christie, a predominantly left-footed player on the right, so the two of them could come in on their better foot, their stronger foot. You saw it with Christie's goal in the first half. I agree, it wasn't Forrest's best performance, but I think that was done tactically for, you know, as a one-off. I don't think Steve Clark sees James Forrest going forward as a left winger.
No, I agree, Roger, but what I'm saying is tonight you could play. Listen, I don't care where anybody plays tonight. As I say to you, I'm not getting excited about tonight's game. I'm sorry, I'm honest about it. I'm delighted I'm in the studio rather than sitting at Hampden freezing, and I wish everybody all the best in that one. But when it comes to March, I think you have got to get your strongest players in their best positions. That is your game now. March is what it's all about. Tonight is go along. Hopefully the fans will enjoy it. It'll be entertainment. They'll get a few goals. They'll see some good performances. Get another victory under our belt. But March is what it's all about now.
William, where would you play Kieran Tierney then and Andy Robertson? How would you solve that conundrum?
Well, see, Gordon Stanton used to just get his best 11 on the park, you know. So, and it didn't really matter where they played them, but it does take definitely. I mean,
the difference, William, is all the best players used to turn up for Gordon Stanton.
Aye, you're probably right. You're probably right, Roger. But I just think you can't. If Palmer's going to be with right back, then let him be with right back. You know, I kind of agree with what Gordon's saying. You've got to play players in the position that they're playing for their club. You can't really play them out of position. I think Steve Clark's probably been a wee bit hamstrung with the call-offs, and that's why maybe Forrest has played on the left-hand side, you know. But I just think, see, when you look at Clark, I think with the players that he's got available, they're much better than what he had at Kilmarnock, and he should be expecting more out of these players that not just make Scotland hard to beat. What we should be looking for is looking, because he's got a lot of good forward-thinking players on the park, and it's just the balance between the midfield and the striking department that he needs to balance out. You know, I just think Gordon's right. I do agree with him, but I just think when you're talking about people playing out of positions, then I think Robertson could probably play it right back just as much as Tierney could.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens come March, William. Thanks very much for your call tonight. Let's go to another line and speak to Craig from Kilmarnock. You've got a point to make about who's starting up front tonight. Craig, what do you think?
All right, boys. I just think the point is Stephen Naismith, he's not been fit and played for his club for maybe 2-3 months now with injury. He's all of a sudden fit, and then on Saturday he gets flung in up front. Now, he's not been playing as a striker. And you've got Lauren Shanklin, who's one of the top goal scorers in Scotland, on the bench, and you have a £20 million Premiership striker and Ollie McMurnie on the bench, who don't get a look in because of that. I personally wouldn't start Stephen Naismith up front because, one, he's not a striker anymore, and two, we've got, unfortunately tonight, we don't have Shanklin, but in my eyes, I would play Ollie McMurnie and give him a chance.
I have to disagree, Craig. The previous caller, William, mentioned the Gordon Strachan regime. One of the great things about the latter days of the Gordon Strachan regime was the way that Stephen Fletcher played that role up top. He pulled everything together. He held the ball up. He involved the wide men. He involved the midfielders. He involved other runners going past him. He was arguably the most important cog in that team under Gordon Strachan. I actually think Stephen Naismith, if he gets up and running again, could do that role in this team. I think Stephen Naismith, no disrespect to the other guys I'm going to mention, Stephen Naismith for me is a far better player than Lauren Shanklin. Stephen Naismith for me is still a better player than £20 million Ollie McBurnie. Now, they're at different stages of the career. That's why Sheffield United are paying £20 million for a young guy like Ollie McBurnie. Naismith, at 50 caps, has been a Premier League striker. I remember Naismith scoring a hat-trick against Chelsea in the English Premier League. A complete striker, and he can pull the whole thing together. He can involve the wide men, he can bring the midfield into it. And I just think for the system that Steve Clark is trying to play, I think Naismith is a better option than a Shankland or a Brophy or a Burke, or even a McBurnie up top. And I don't think when either McBurnie or Burke came on Saturday, they particularly enhanced their reputations.
Yeah, I said last Thursday about Burke. I think he's got to start producing. He doesn't produce for me. He's had so many moves, so many clubs at a young age, can't hold down a regular first team spot. In fact, if he didn't have pace, he'd probably be a taxi driver, to be quite honest with you. And he needs to start using that pace. And you know, it's okay saying the lad's made so much money and he's an international, but we keep going with guys like Burke. But he doesn't produce for me. He's not good enough for me at this level. I look at what Roger's saying there. Great point, the fact of Naismith. He's played that position. He knows how to play. He scored goals there. Yes, he plays a little bit deeper. But right now, when you look at Shanklin, who's played in the Championship in Scotland, you've got McBurney that I don't think the Scotland fans basically rate. But Sheffield United obviously do because they paid £20 million for him. You can argue the fact that he scored 20-odd goals in the Championship. But I think if you're looking at your best team than now, how you're going to get to the front players to bring your most dangerous players in, your Forrest, your Christies and all that, I think Naismith's the most cleverest.
Craig, would you like to come back in on that?
I understand what you're saying, but I mean, how do these guys like McBurney get a chance when we don't? We shoot them down in flames when they play one or two games. Now I understand he's not obviously shone the limelight on himself when he's pulled the Scotland top on, but he needs to grow in confidence and he needs to get used to playing with the players around him and the Scotland squad. Now, Naismith, if you're saying he can involve the wide players, which he can, well, but then why can we not drop him in behind the striker then? And then he can orchestrate it in behind the striker as a number 10.
Because that's where Christie plays. And I think Christie's the best in the country at it. I think that's Christie's best position in there. I think he's so clever, he runs... his positions he takes up, and you witnessed it the other night there with his goal. He gets into this position, goes onto his left foot, and he just curls one into the top corner. I think that if Christie wasn't there, I would put up an argument for you, Craig, and say, yeah, you could look at Naismith being clever enough, experienced enough there to play in behind a striker. But I think Ryan Christie all day long has got to play that position.
Thank you very much for your call, Craig. We'll need to move on. We'll be getting the team news in the next sort of 20 minutes or so. Alison Conroy is at Hampden Park for us tonight in the freezing cold. We'll get the team news to you next, and we'll also get the latest on the roads with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Road Accident Solicitors. The compensation you deserve when you've been sidelined. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Welcome back to Super Scoreboard. It is Tuesday night and it's a big match at Hampden, sort of. Alison Conroy is there and the teams are in. What's the latest, Alison?
Yep, Steve Clark has announced his starting 11 for this final group match against Kazakhstan, and it is the same starting 11 that started in Cyprus on Saturday. So it will be David Marshall in goal, back four of Liam Palmer, Declan Gallagher, Scott McKenna and Greg Taylor. Then it'll be Ryan Christie, Callum McGregor, Ryan Jack and James Forrest, with John McGinn behind the lone striker of Stephen Naismith.
Yeah, so any surprises there, lads?
No, I think Roger called it earlier when he said that he would stick with the same team. I agree. Two things. They got a result over there. Wasn't the greatest game in the world, I've got to say. But they got the result. That was important. And I do think that rather than just put guys in for one game, take them back out, change the team again, give them an argo. They're at home now. They went over there. It's always difficult playing away. The pitch didn't look that particularly good, if I've got to be honest. So they're at Hampden tonight. Playing surface will be very, very good indeed. Okay, the atmosphere will be a bit low because of the size of the crowd. But it gives you an opportunity to say, well, I've got two games in a row. Rather than just getting there and then get put back out, sit on the bench, get another 15 minutes. I'm quite happy with that, I've got to say, because as I say, and I'm not being disrespectful, everything's geared up for March. Tonight, I don't think it's got a bearing on March, apart from you could maybe say one or two players might just catch the eye of the manager again and put a wee bit doubt in his head for March. But apart from that, it's all about the Tartan Army going along, supporting their country and hoping they get a result.
And this is probably the first time, Roger, that we've had a solid centre-half pairing in terms of two games in a row at least. That's been the positions that have been chopping and changing all the time, hasn't it?
Yeah, there's been a lot of different players right through the campaign. You know, you look back to the Nations League campaign, Elisa John Souter was playing, Stuart Finlay's had a go, Michael Devlin's been involved, he came on the last couple of minutes for Ryan Christie at the weekend as well. There's been loads of different chopping and changing, But now it's Gallagher and McKenna. I was reading David Provan in the paper at the weekend saying he quite likes it because it's two old-fashioned guys who want to defend first, you know, rather than ball-playing guys who are trying to dribble it out their own box. Just head it the way they're facing, kick it the way they're facing, and, you know, that's good enough for him. So this could be the start of something. You talk about guys coming back, Daz, for the games in March. I'm not too sure we've got too many, you know, central defensive candidates who would definitely knock McKenna and Gallagher out of those places.
Yeah, that's a big question, Roger. Who is our best central defenders? Because if you're going to go through these games in March, you've got to be really tight at the back. You've got to trust your back four and your goalkeeper, and they will play a four. I've got a funny feeling, and as I said, I don't like square pegs and round holes. I think you've got to get your right players in the right positions. I think if Tierney's fit, and I think he's the only one in the team, I would get every other player and play them in their positions. That's the strongest team. Play them in their positions. Let Robertson at left back, McTominay in where he is, McGinn where he plays for Aston Villa, Christie where he plays with Celtic, McGregor if it's McGregor, Forrest on the right if it's Forrest on the right. I think your one big question mark will be Tierney, and I think he could play him at left centre back.
Yeah, I think that might be a possibility. We've got Justin on the line. He's joined us from Glasgow City Centre. What do you make of that starting lineup, Justin?
Good evening, guys. I'm not that impressed, I've got to be honest, which sounds a bit disheartening, and I can apologise for it to a degree. But I've been listening the last couple of nights about people debating about Scotland game and why people, you know, are more interested in Celtic and Rangers and their club teams than the national teams. And it just seems to be like history for about 5-6 years ago repeating itself again before Strachan and Walter Smith took over during the gloom days of Bertie Volks and then Craig Levein and everything else. We seem to be back struggling to put an 11 on the park, you know, scrambling players together and then get back to days of he's an English guy, but his granny's Scottish, so we'll try and draft him in. We might try and get him into a team rather than actually during the days when you had Walter Smith and Strachan that people respected. You would never get call-offs for teams. There would never have been a debate about getting your best players into an 11. It was quite the opposite. It was people clamouring, disappointed that they couldn't get into the team. We're talking about a Scotland national team, and I obviously, your club teams are going to take precedence to a degree because there's more money involved, there's more TV involved, and there's a passion for a club. I think the passion for a national team seems to be diminishing again because, no disrespect to Steve Clark, he's a good coach, but his two positions as managers, with Kilmarnock, all right, he's done well, but nowhere a big club. He was a coach at West Brom. He'd done relatively well with him, but his majority of his career has been second fiddle to somebody with presence and somebody with, you know, an aspect about them, and he's been a good coach behind the scenes at that. I think that's what Scotland's missing, is something that commands that respect. You know, I'm not saying a Walter Smith, but it's too old, but somebody like Smith or Strachan, to actually get a bit of passion behind the national team again and getting people want to play. I mean, you've got people like, again, it's not just because I'm a Rangers fan, but you've got people like Alan McGregor, who's probably one of the best goalkeepers in Europe now. All right, the class is retired, but are you saying to me that if to get us into a playoff, you don't want your best goalkeeper in the country to be able to play? And if there was a call put into him to play, to get through to that, that he wouldn't come out of retirement to do that? You've got people like Scott Brown, you've got people with passion and leaders that we can't get anywhere near a team because we're scrambling to get a team together. It just doesn't... It's just, you wouldn't get that with any other national team like England or anybody else, I just want to know what the panel think.
That's the choice of the players, Justin. You do get it with England. Jamie Vardy's stopped playing for England. He's made himself unavailable to focus in his 30s on his club career, and he's now leading scorer in the English Premier League. Alan McGregor will tell you that he has, I wouldn't say bad injury, one, of course he doesn't, but he wants to look after his body during these international breaks so he's 100% fit for Rangers. Now, if Alan McGregor played two games for Scotland and came back through one in for Rangers on the first Sunday after the international doubleheader, you would be the first on the phone to this show to say he should chuck Scotland. Scott Brown has been quite open in saying he's chucked Scotland to try and extend his Celtic career, and he's playing very well at the minute. So you can see why guys well into their 30s do this. Tierney's not there this time through no fault of his own, it's through the fault of his club, who don't want him to be there. So I know the point you're trying to make. Steve Clarke is a big personality. Steve Clarke is a tough operator. And Steve Clarke, he certainly won't bring him back and bended knee to anyone to say, listen guys, we're in a playoff now, it's got a couple of big games, you fancy a big game because you didn't fancy the little games. He will stick with the guys who have stuck with him so far. I wish everyone would make themselves available for Scotland. I think we'd have a mighty good team if everyone did make themselves available, but this is international football in 2019.
The only thing I would say, Roger, I think it's very unfair to judge Steve Clarke just now. Everybody in the summer, when the job was available, his name come up, and everybody was quite happy for Steve Clarke to go and take up the reins. So I think we've got to give him a bit of time, bit of opportunity. He's not had his strongest squad to work with. I think he comes under a lot of pressure in March because he's got to get results. I don't know what you meant there, Roger, about he'll be sticking with players that stuck with him. I think that the guys like, you know, the Robertson's obviously will come back in, McTominay will come back in, Ryan Fraser will come back in, Tierney will come back in, all these boys. So no matter what, four or five of these guys, if they had terrific two games over the last two games there, they wouldn't be playing in March. Whether they had call-offs or not, the big hitters, as I call them, the guys that are guaranteed jersey will play. And I totally agree with that. And I know that it's easy for people to say, well, if they don't turn up and, you know, they don't make themselves available, then just forget. It's not, you've got to get results. No, we've got a chance to go to
just
a tournament
talking
here.
The likes of McGregor and Brown coming back. Yeah, I think the guys who have said for some time they are retired, they won't be back. He won't go and ask.
Yeah, them. I totally agree, and I don't think he should. And I think he's doing the right thing there. I can understand everybody wants us to get to a competition, major competition. Of course they do. But the only thing tonight in the team, you look at that team and people are saying, well, it might not excite me. The only one change I would have made there tonight, I think I would have given Fleck over the last two games an opportunity, Stephen, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, I would have probably left McGregor out, not because of his ability, because when the big game comes in March, if McGregor's fit, McGregor starts. So let's make that clear, because he's a terrific talent, the boy. But he's played so many games, and I just think a wee rest would have given him, you know, the benefit of just saying, right, I can go and sit and relax, I can still train with the squad, still be a part of it, and give, say, somebody like Fleck these two games. Like, he's given Ryan Jack an opportunity. Give Fleck a couple of games, because McGregor has played and he will be a number one pick.
Fleck has been playing, of course, for Sheffield United. Justin, are you basically saying that, you know, we should cut our losses with Steve Clarke now and get somebody in who would, in your opinion, command respect to the dressing room a wee bit better then?
I just think we're clutching at straws a wee bit. I think we're running out of options for people to bring in, you know. That's never going to be a good start. It just feels like getting back to the days of Craig Levein and stuff like that, to actually somebody with that command. But I mean, I know I'm clutching at straws a wee bit by saying somebody like Souness and stuff like that, or Dalglish, but somebody that has got that respect with a Steve Clarke next to them that kind of can command that. You're not going to get call-offs for that. I mean, when we're talking about...
Justin, stop. Do you think Graeme Souness is going to swap that hot Sky Sports studio to be sitting in that dugout tonight in front of 20,000 people freezing, and Alison's got the heater up the stairs? That ain't happening.
We need a heater update, Stephen. Is the heater now plugged in and operational? We do need to know.
We will find that out definitely before 7 o'clock. Thank you very much for your call, Justin. I will squeeze another call in before the break as well. Ryan from Dunoon has given us a shout, and you have a solution for the Tierney problem. What is it?
How you doing, guys?
Hey,
first of all, just wanted to say, get well soon to Gordon Duncan. Hope he gets back in the show soon.
Absolutely.
I'm not really missing him, Ryan. Let him stay off for a couple of more weeks, because he'll be on the phone to me asking to drive him in his judo. I ain't happening.
I think that chauffeur's cap quite suits you, though.
Oh, no. He's been already texting, will you pick me up? Will you pick me up? You take me to the shop? Will you do this? You do that? I'm taking him flowers. I'm taking him chocolates. Looking after him.
If things get any worse, we'll just do the show from Gordon's house and you and Mark Wilson can go round on Thursday. How about that? That sounds good.
No, I'm not having that.
Right. Ryan, what's your point?
Sure. Just to want to cast your minds back to the 10th of June a couple of years ago, guys, when Scotland drew 2-2 with England at Hampden. Probably the last day that I actually was proud to say I was a Scotland fan, to be honest. Last day I thought we'd done a decent performance. You might remember that Kieran Tierney played in the left hand side of a back three that day.
Yeah. But I think under a different manager, Ryan, I think that if you look at Steve Clark, I think he tends to go with a four, and I think that's his preferred system at the back. Managers sometimes tweak it a little bit to get your best players in, and Tierney did play as a three. But I think looking at these games coming up, I'll be surprised if he changes to a back three. I think that Tierney will be in the team somewhere. I've got a funny feeling I'll be as a left centre back and a back four. I don't think all of a sudden, because there's talk of this training camp, right? There's no point to that training camp a week prior, because you're not going to get Tierney's, you're not going to get Robert. So if you want to play a back three and work on it, you would need Robertson, you would need Tierney right away up. You're not going to get them from Arsenal and Liverpool. There's no chance that'll happen. So there's no point in that. But I do not see Steve Clark, especially club football as well, and never, even when he went to Celtic Park, always played a solid four.
And it doesn't seem that long ago, the game Ryan's talking about, the 2-2 with England. You know, there's not a single player from that Scotland team at Hampden that day involved tonight. Stuart Armstrong's on the bench. He's the only one from the side that started the game against England, that 2-2 game, who's involved anywhere in the squad tonight.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very changed days. On you come in, Ryan. I think also Kieran Tierney did play right back a few times under Gordon Strachan as well. So he did sort of swap him around. Are you saying that should be his position, left-hand side of a back three?
I believe so, because he's obviously a great footballing brain. You know, if you stick him in a couple of guys, a wee bit more brawn with McKenna, Liam Cooper, for example, I think, you know, it'd be a good combination there. I just think a kind of 3-5-2 formation, I would kind of solve as well a problem at right back as well. Where I'd maybe think about Forrest over there. Obviously, he's not defensively minded, but you could keep bringing cover in with, obviously, Ryan Jack covers Davenport at Ibrox and stuff like that. So you could get guys there that are willing to, you know, do the legwork to let the attacking players do their job.
Yeah, I guess it's just one for Steve Clark to try and work out between now and March. Thank you very much for your call, Ryan. We're going to take a look at our possible playoff opponents next, and we'll do that after we get the latest travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the league leader for compensation. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Welcome back to the show. It's Stephen Mill in for Gordon Duncan, and we are focusing on the Scotland versus Kazakhstan game. It is the same team that started against Cyprus on Saturday, in case you missed it a wee bit earlier on. But let's focus now on who we might be playing in the playoffs. We are definitely in the playoffs. We've got at least one home match this coming March, and we will play one of three teams: Israel, Romania or Bulgaria. Who do you want to start with, Roger Hanna, in terms of... What information would you like about each team? I've got it all here in front of me.
Well, we know we can beat Israel at Hampden.
Yes.
Because we did it in the Nations League when we won the group. We know Bulgaria are nothing to be feared. They lost 6 at home to England last month. Romania wouldn't terrify you either. They lost 5 to Spain last night. So I think whatever one of the three, and I believe Hungary get thrown into the mix as well. If they don't qualify automatically tonight as well, we'd be the fourth potential opponent. None of the four would terrify you in a semi-final at Hampden. The problem, if there's going to be a problem, might arise in the final, where we would play either Norway or Serbia, potentially away from home. The draw for that's on Friday to decide whether that game would be at home or away, the one-off final. But let's get the semi-final out of the way first. None of the potential opponents would put fear in your heart, Stephen.
I read a tweet earlier on from Pine Bovril, and it was a very good stat. In our last 40 qualifiers at home in European Championships, including playoffs, we've only lost 7. We've won 28 and drew 5. So if we do get through, it's very important that we're at home, because, you know, we are much stronger at home than we are away.
Yeah, I think semi-final, I'm with Roger a little bit. The fact it'll be a packed house, great atmosphere.
Would you drag yourself along to that one, Gordon?
Depending on the weather. I think it'll be, you know, a great opportunity to get into the final. If we're at home, I think we've got a great chance of qualifying. It's on the road where I worry a little bit. But those four that's been mentioned there, at Hampden, full house, with our strongest team, and great backing from the Tartan Army, we certainly can get to the final, and then we'll take our chances from there.
Let's go to the line and speak to Willie from Easterhouse. Who do you fancy in the playoffs then?
I don't know, but see, you're teaming right now for Romania quite easily, considering that Cluj beat Celtic 4-3 at Celtic Park. Maybe Cluj might fancy, Romania might fancy their chances. I see that's half the Scottish team. Maybe that's how we're not getting to World Championship. We're building ourselves up too far, and then we fail. We fail too often. Sure, we need to try and get somewhere positive.
I think in terms of Romania, they are ranked 29th in the world. They did get beat by Spain, and they got beat by Sweden at the weekend as well. They're not quite the force they used to be with Georgi Hagi, and then a wee bit later on with Adrian Mutu and guys like that. But in terms of the teams that we might play, they're probably the best out of the lot.
Yeah, listen, the centre-forward last night, who's got a rather famous name, Puskas.
Yes.
He plays for Reading in the Championship. So, you know, he's not one that would terrify. It's not as if we're getting against a team with a world, you know, world class players right through the ranks. You know, we're not getting a
goals and 14 caps for Puskas.
But, I mean, we're not getting a Portugal or a Belgium or a, you know, a Germany or a Holland or anything. We've had Holland in the playoffs before, a far, far harder task, as we found out that night in Amsterdam. But in a semi final at Hampden, I would genuinely be positive about our chances for that. I think we might need a favour in the draw though, because Norway in Oslo or Serbia in Belgrade, I think would be a tough ask in a one-off final.
Certainly would be. Who do you fancy? 0141 951 1025 is the number, at Clyde SSB on Twitter as well. As we said, Romania, we know, are probably the best of the bunch, as we've just said. Israel we've already beaten, which is good. And Bulgaria, you know, they finished behind England, Kosovo, and just finished ahead of Montenegro. So again, nothing to fear from them. Or are we just being deluded here, and should we be fearing these teams?
I think we're confident because it will be a home tie, Stephen. I don't know if we'd be as confident if it was an away game, because you know, we could probably lose any of the games away.
Let's be
honest about that. But at home, I think in March, with that magnificent crowd behind Scotland roaring them on, I think we have got a fantastic chance of getting to the, and hopefully we can get the luck of the draw and get another home game. And if we do that, we've only ourselves to blame if we don't qualify.
It would be great. You look at the finals next year, it would be England versus Scotland at Wembley, but the other two games in the group would both be at Hampden. It would be a great spectacle to have, you know, returning to a major final for the first time in 22 years, and two of your group games are at Hampden Park. It would be terrific.
And you know what? I'm not trying to get ahead of ourselves, but as we saw the last Euros with Northern Ireland getting through, Wales getting through, if we do manage to somehow scrape a win, we have a great chance of getting through to the last 16.
I think if Gordon takes an hour 4 days off, you'll have us winning this.
Well, don't get too excited, because I saw a projected draw earlier on if Scotland had got through, and I think there's a possibility we could be in a pot of England, Scotland, France and Portugal. So good luck with that.
Yeah, that's
You're still feeling it?
So let's bring it back to the playoffs and just concentrate on them first. In terms of who we might go through against Norway and Serbia, again, that is going to be a very, very difficult tie. Even at home, those two teams are no mugs. Yeah, they both finished third. I think Serbia just finished behind Portugal in their group.
You look at the Norwegian team, you know, Christopher Ayer, who we all know very well at the back, Stefan Johansson.
It's the first time you've ever got his name right.
Big Chris,
big pal
of mine.
Well, you went for it tonight.
Oh, yes.
What's the big lad up front? About 18, 19, he's scoring all the goals. He scored at Anfield when he come on.
The boy plays for Salzburg, Alfie Haaland's son.
But
he was actually injured, missed the game in Malta last night, but he would play up front along with Josh King from Bournemouth. They're Norway's first choice pairing. The lad Haaland scored all manner of goals domestically in Austria, all manner of goals in that Champions League group as well. So he would be a danger. Serbian danger man, Alexander Mitrovic, Fulham, scored goals. They were in a difficult qualification section, finished third. They would be a difficult opponent in Belgrade.
Yeah, Milinkovic-Savic in midfield as well, who obviously was playing for Lazio against Celtic recently. Let's go to the lines and speak to Ronnie, and he's in Carluke. What is your point to the panel, Ronnie?
A point to the panel is, I'd like to speak to Gordon. You there, Gordon?
Yes, Ronnie. What can I do for you?
Aye. Listen, you're a wee bit over-confident there where Israel, Bulgaria and Romania. Do you know, I think they'll be looking at us as if to say, oh, we want Scotland Day. We shouldn't go above ourselves. We've been disappointed so many times and so many occasions. You have to be careful what you're saying. It shouldn't be too
cocky. Hold on, Ronnie, calm, because I'm going to explain something. Stephen's got his win in it, right? I had to bring him back there. I said that we had a better opportunity, we would feel more confident of these games at Hampden. Now, I'm not saying that we're going to cruise through, no matter what team, Romania, Israel, Bulgaria or Hungary or wherever it may be, because it will be difficult, it will be a pressure game. But what I was trying to explain was, I think we've got a better opportunity, and I think the Tartan Army would feel more confident at Hampden rather than being away from home. I'm not saying it's a gimme by any matter of means.
Hello?
Yeah, still here, Ronnie, go.
Well, see, the minute you're saying they get beat with Spain and they get beat with Sweden. Spain and Sweden are good countries, big countries that's done things in the World Cups recently, Euros and that. And these guys are not mugs. A lot of these players are playing in the Premiership. We've got about half of four or five. These are playing in major leagues. They're playing in championships and first and championships in England and that. So I don't think we should be overconfident. We should be confident, but not respect them. But
yeah, I think we will. And obviously, Ronnie, obviously my voice sounds a bit different because it was actually Roger Hanna that actually said that. It wasn't Gordon Dale that said that, you know, get beat with Spain. I never mentioned anything like that.
No, because I'm
going to be quite honest with you. I was too busy to notice.
You did say off air, though, because you said you'd seen Israel twice in the Nations League and you'd seen Romania on TV last night and you knew about Bulgaria because your great uncle lives there.
You've been watching the
Bumbles
too much.
Ah, he's what you've got to work.
I've been working with a couple of them, Ronnie.
This is what you're working with.
Bulgaria got a result against the Czechs last week. They beat England there on the second, so then they mugs either.
Ah, the Czechs are already qualified. The foot was off the gas.
Aye.
Ronnie, I think you've got a valid point. I don't think we can be overconfident in any game. All I'm saying is we've got a better opportunity at home in front of a packed house with the atmosphere and the players that we've got, I think, can rise to that. And if we got a little bit of luck on the day, I think we've got a better chance of getting to the final. That's all I'm saying.
What do you think of that, Ronnie, then?
I think that's fine, but a lot of Scotland fans that go to Hampden think that we've been knocked out of competitions, late goals so many times, it comes natural to us to fall at last hurdle.
Yeah, I take it you're not heading along tonight, Ronnie, no?
No. Yeah.
Well, you'll be watching on the telly?
To be honest with you, if we do qualify, we could be the laughing stock, to be honest with you.
Well,
that's what I like, Ronnie, a good bit of positivity.
Ronnie's sitting in the house and now he's Scotland trip on, isn't he?
Play it back in June when we get embarrassed.
Right.
Thanks for the call, guys.
Okay, no problem, Ronnie. Yeah. You have a cheery night. And
there goes Ronnie, president of the Tartan Army.
He's almost the polar opposite from where I am. I had us winning it. Ronnie's getting us.
He's taking the trophy right back off you.
Yeah, pretty much. Right, it's time for this. Beat the pundit with the Scottish Sun for the best football news and opinion online. thescottishsun.co.uk/football. By the way, the pundits are on a heck of a run. I have had winners every single night. So since last Thursday, the pundits have won every single night. You kicked off, though, Gordon.
We'll sort that out tonight.
It was Hugh Keevan's one on Friday. And then Alex Ray absolutely hammered Darren last night. So if you want to take part and take on either Roger Hanna or Gordon Dalziel, the lines are now open. 0141 951 1025 is the number. You have until the start of the news to call. That's 0141 951 1025. And we'll get the latest news next. Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. The form team for compensation for more than 40 years. Talk to Thompson's.com. It's Tuesday night's Super Scoreboard with me, Stephen Miller. I'm in for Gordon Duncan. I'm joined in the studio by Gordon Dalziel and Roger Hanna. And it's time for this. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. As I mentioned just before the break there, the pundits have been on sterling form since last Thursday, since I've been in for Gordon. All kicked off by Gordon Dalziel, and he got the ball rolling, and it's been pundits winning every single night since then. Hopefully, or maybe, to stop that, we can go to the lines and speak to tonight's contestant, who is Scott from Carluke. How are you doing, Scott? You all right?
I'm not too bad.
Up to anything exciting tonight, just watching the game?
No, watching my two daughters.
Watching your two daughters. I'm sure that might be more interesting than the game anyway.
A wee bit, I am a celebrity later on, Scott.
I'll watch that.
Yeah, right, okay. Who do you fancy taking on? Is it Roger Hannah or Gordon DL that you want to take on?
Gordon DL.
And why is that?
Because Roger Hannah's too good.
Hey, hold on a minute.
Are we?
20 victories I've had out of 23.
That's not too bad, actually. That's not too bad at all.
Rogers had one out of one.
Are we still going with minus
one?
No,
I get beat.
For Roger Hannah?
No, we're not.
Right,
we're
going for minus
no,
one.
No, we're not. I can see if you say we're not, you'll hear Gordon Duncan shouting at the radio from Motherwell.
Right, okay. Roger, you are heads, and Gordon, you are tails. So let's find out. Flip the coin. It's heads, so you're taking on Roger Hannah tonight.
Good luck, Scott.
Scott, okay, so I'm going to put Clyde 2 into Roger's headphones. Can you hear me? No, you can't. That is good. And Scott, you have 30 seconds on the clock. How are you feeling? Nervous?
Not too bad.
Right, okay, no problem. So you have 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can, and your time starts now. Who's replaced Lauren Shankland in the Scotland squad?
Jordan Jones.
Name one of the four teams in the Challenge Cup semi-final.
Rangers Colts.
What was the score the last time Scotland faced Kazakhstan?
1-0 Scotland.
Which Aberdeen player has been called up to the Welsh squad?
Pass.
Lee Miller and David McCracken have become the interim coaching team for which Scottish club?
Albion Rovers.
Who was the first Scottish team Johnny Hayes played with? I'll let you
Aberdeen.
Okay, right. We will bring Roger Hannah back into the room. How are you doing? You all right? You back in the room? You can hear me?
Yep, ready to go.
Okay, so if Roger's on minus one...
You'll get 10 here.
Okay.
Honestly,
Scott,
you'll get
you
10.
You just hang by and we'll get 30 seconds back on the clock.
Read them as quick as you can, Stephen. Remember the rules.
Yep.
Well, I don't think that'll matter, but here we go. 30 seconds on the clock. Roger Hannah, your time starts now. Who's replaced Lauren Shankland in the Scotland squad?
Eamon Brophy.
Name one of the four teams in the Challenge Cup semi-final draw.
Cali Thistle.
What was the score the last time Scotland faced Kazakhstan?
3-0 Kazakhstan.
Which Aberdeen player has been called up to the Wales squad?
Ryan Hedges.
Lee Miller and David McCracken have become interim coaching team for which Scottish club?
Falkirk.
Who was the first Scottish team that Johnny Hayes played with?
Aberdeen.
What year did Kenny Miller get his first Scotland cap?
2001.
Which stadium does Stenhouse Muir play at?
Ogilvie.
Which trophy did Stephen Presley win with Hearts? It was the Scottish Cup. Ryan.
Aberdeen.
Ryan. Sorry, not Ryan.
Oh, Cali Thistle.
Scott, I should say.
Can't have two Cali Thistle answers.
Let's go through the answers and...
I've been hammered.
So, Roger started on minus one and... let's go to the first question.
No, make any difference.
Who replaced Lauren Shankland in the Scotland squad? It was Eamon Brophy. You passed on that one, Scott. And I think you said Jordan Jones. It's not him because
I was thinking Jordan Rhodes.
It wasn't him. It was Eamon Brophy. You got that one right. So that's us up to 0-0. Then name one of the four teams in the Challenge Cup semi final draw. You said Rangers Colts. That's correct, Scott. And you said Cali Thistle. That's also correct. So that is one apiece. Question three was, what was the score last time Scotland faced Kazakhstan? You said 1-0 with Scotland. It was 3-0 Kazakhstan. And Roger, you were correct. So that is 2-1 to Roger. Which Aberdeen player had been called up to the Welsh squad recently? It's Ryan Hedges. So that's 3-1 to Roger. Lee Miller and David McCracken have been appointed interim coaches at Falkirk. You got that one wrong, Scott. So it's 4-1 to Roger. Who was the first Scottish team that Johnny Hayes played with?
Inverness.
You both said Aberdeen.
Inverness.
It is Inverness. And you both got that one wrong, but it didn't matter. A final score, because you got the next two questions right, which were Kenny Miller. He got his first Scotland cap in 2001. Well done, Roger. An amazing piece of knowledge. And Ogilvie is the home stadium of Stenhouse Muir. So that, I make it a 6-1 victory to Roger Hannah. Scott, how are you feeling?
No bad. It could have been worse.
It could have been worse.
Phone in on Thursday, Scott.
Yeah.
Try it again.
You against Mark Wilson. Yeah, that's more of a match, yeah. Right. Have a good night and we'll speak to you again soon, Scott. Thanks very much, pal.
Thank you.
Cheers,
bye.
Pal.
You never know, by Thursday, Daz might well have been dropped into the jungle on the standby list.
I thought they were quite easy tonight. I've got to say.
How many of them did you get right?
Oh, yeah, I got most of them. The only one I did. Hold on.
Kenny Miller one.
I didn't get Kenny Miller.
Yeah.
That was the one I didn't get.
That was a tough one, but Roger.
But the rest were easy.
Well, did you get Ryan Hedges?
Unless your name's Scott. Right. Yeah.
Did you get Ryan Hedges? Yeah, oh, yeah. Well done. Have you ever been asked to go into the jungle or any reality TV show? We were hearing about your sitcom last week, Gordon.
Yeah, yeah, it's all kicking off for me. I'm moving in different directions and everybody will be glad to hear that.
Yeah.
And they'll be spurring me on.
I thought that would just be a bad hit.
That's good.
You're certainly moving in a funny direction when you came in.
Yeah, it's a wee bit sore just now, I've got to say.
Beat the Pundit will be back tomorrow night and your chance to take on either Mark Guidi or Jim Duffy, who's in the studio tomorrow. Right, let's move on and take a break from Scotland. We will revisit it before the end of the show. We'll also get the teaser up and running in the next 15 minutes or so. Some chattering today about the new Hearts boss. We still don't have a replacement for Craig Levein. Austin McPhee is going to be in charge at the weekend, it looks like, against Kilmarnock. The latest person to be linked is Alan Irvine, and he's also been linked with the sporting director role. So he's you know, casting his net a wee bit wide. Roger Hannah, you have got any inside info on this one?
Well, I haven't been on the show for a few days, so can I just check that Craig Levine's still in the payroll? Yeah,
I assume so.
Austin McPhee's still in the payroll.
Yes.
So not a great deal has really changed at Hearts at all.
No.
They were right in saying that. I'm actually doing the Hearts game at Rugby Park against Kilmarnock for Super Scoreboard on Saturday. I might be wildly wrong here. Don't get the impression Ann Budge is desperate to have a new regime in charge of her football department.
Okay.
They seem to be going through all manner of people, from Stuart McCall and Neil McCann, and as you were saying, Alan Irvine today, Steve Cotterill last week. If Ann Budge wanted any of them, there's no real impediment to appoint any of them. None of them are in work. She fancied them. Why are they not in the job already?
Roger, do you get the feeling that Ann Budge is sort of playing a waiting game to see Austin McPhee come out and was shouting odds last week when, the last game they played in the Premier League, they beat St Mirren at home, and he was shouting odds and sort of shouting himself up a little bit, you've got to say, quite rightly so, if he's interested for a job. Do you think that Budge is sort of awaiting in that to see the next few games, taking a bit of a risk to say, well, if he gets a couple of results, it may be an easy option, plus the fact, you know that, right, if any other manager goes in there and you're a strong manager and you're a strong leader of a football club, the first thing you do is remove Craig Levein from Tynecastle. You've got to get him out, right? And it's nothing against Craig. Decent bloke, been in football all his days, played against him, terrific football player. Nothing against Craig. But you've got to get in there with a clean sweep, start your own way of running the football club. Whereas just now, if Austin McPhee can get a few results and Budge suits her, that Levine's still there because Levine's a big, massive fan of McPhee, and Austin McPhee's a big, massive fan of Craig Levein.
Could you rule out, if that scenario unfolds, Daz, could you rule out between now and the end of the season a statement from Ann Budge saying the club have decided to retain the services of Craig Levein in an advisory capacity beyond the end of his contract at the end of the season?
I think he's on a contract for life. They can't get rid of him. And I'm not having a go at Craig Levein. All I'm saying is Craig's went in there, director of football, brought in Ian Cathro. Absolute disaster. Went into the dugout. Absolute disaster. He's not had the best times. He should have stayed up the stairs. You now can't go in there as a new manager if you've got anything about your credentials and say, oh, Craig Levein's still going to be here this season, next season. What's his job? He's not director of football. He's now in the background. Get him. You've got to get him out of the club. Whereas just now, is Austin McPhee, probably, and Budge's got all the fingers crossed, got to save her a couple of quid as well. All the fingers crossed. McPhee gets a few results. Craig Levein stays within the vicinity of Tynecastle and everybody's happy, but they're going nowhere.
You wonder, and you may never know this, Daz, you wonder how many potential candidates have been ruled out by Ann Budge, but how many potential candidates have ruled themselves out of the situation because they don't want to go in and not be able to have control
of
the football department.
If you've been a respected manager in football, yes, we understand that part of football now is sporting directors, football directors, we understand that. There's big parts for them to play. But Craig Levein's time for a new manager, I'm talking about a new manager with credentials, must leave Tynecastle. You can't have that roaming the corridors of Tynecastle when you're trying to work and do things differently, and Craig Levein's still in the shadows. If McPhee's still there, it suits both parties. It probably suits everyone. That's i.e. why you look at the candidates that they're interviewing, and so far Roger, who works in this industry day in day out, gets more intelligent conversations with people above.
You've taken that too far.
No. I know you're in with the bricks with a lot of people. That's where I get my information, Roger. And at the end of the day, Roger's still nowhere near knowing who's going to be the heart.
You mentioned that, you know, Ann Budge will maybe just be playing a waiting game, and then, you know, it'll just all falls into place with Austin McPhee and everyone will be happy. I don't think the Hearts fans will be very happy with that, to be perfectly honest with you. I think there might be more protests if that might be the case.
But the way Daz was painting it was, if results go well.
Well.
So essentially, that is what supporters are interested in: results going well, performances improving. Austin McPhee's last game in charge, he scored 5 goals at home. There's got 5 goals at home every week. Austin McPhee will get the job. There's nothing surer than that. And that will calm any ire there was from the supporters. A lot of the outrage from the supporters was directed towards Craig Levein. Wasn't necessarily directed towards Ann Budge or Austin McPhee or anyone else. So Craig Levein has been either temporarily or permanently removed from the firing line. I think if Austin McPhee was to continue picking up 3 points every Saturday, you know, continuing at Kilmarnock at the weekend, the supporters would easily be turned round.
There's also some chat around today about Johnny Hayes. He is out of contract at Celtic at the end of the season. He has not been in the team, you know, every single week, but when he has come in, he has played very well. Is he worth a new contract at Parkhead?
Well, I've always said that ever since Johnny Hayes turned up at Celtic Park, I've always described him a Celtic player and an Aberdeen strip. He was an Aberdeen player for me. But I've got to say something. Well done to Johnny Hayes. Neil Lennon got a lot of time for him, plays him in different positions, and he's never let Neil Lennon down. He's never let Celtic down. But the biggest problem for Johnny Hayes at this time of his career is he's not going to be a regular. He's never going, because Celtic in the January window, they'll keep strengthening. You look at one minute, they didn't have a position for right back. They didn't have a player for right back. Now they've got 3 decent right backs. Johnny Hayes will soon find himself. You look at Scott Sinclair working so hard to try and get back in. A guy who was Scottish Player of the Year up here, scored so many goals. His record's brilliant. Can't get near the team. Johnny Hayes is well liked by Neil Lennon. That's a big plus for him. I think they would offer him a contract. But at this stage of your career, where they've got, there's a couple of good teams in there. It's not like it's, you know, you're going down the pecking order a little bit. You know, it's not like you're going to the Championship in Scotland. It's good teams that have been sort of a
Stoke and Swansea are
not,
the two that have
not
been
bad moves if you're going away from Celtic. He needs to play regular football. Is he going to get it at Celtic? No, he's not.
Let's speak to Scott, who's given us a call on 01419511025. He's in Barmalloch. Hey, would you make it Johnny Hayes then? You're a Celtic fan. Is he worth another contract?
I'd like to dig Gordon up in something. Gordon, Stoke or Swansea? Stoke are in the bottom of that league and potentially get into the League One. And Swansea will go there and work, play in front of 15,000 fans.
Right, Scott, hold on. No, you're going. You're thinking I'm belittling him with Celtic. I'm not. I am saying for him to play regular football, which he won't get at Celtic, right? Now, just listen to me, Scott, before you come back in. He will not get at Celtic Football Club. He has to go at his age now in his career, play regular football. And I think Stoke and Swansea in the Championship are 2 decent clubs to go and play regular football. I'm not saying he should leave Celtic for Swansea. If Neil Lennon comes in and says to him, by the way, you're our number one left-sided player at Celtic Football Club, I'd be saying to Johnny Hayes, sign that contract right now. Because Celtic are a massive club compared to Swansea and Stoke. My point is, he's got to play.
Can I cut to the chase? Swansea and Stoke will pay him more. He's 32 years of age, coming 33. This will be Johnny Hayes' last ever
payday
professional contract. Johnny Hayes, as we said in the quiz at the top of the hour, started his career up here at Inverness Cali Thistle, who, with all due regard to them, aren't the biggest payers in the world. He went to Aberdeen as a Cali Thistle player and would get paid as a guy moving from Cali Thistle to Aberdeen. He'll have got more money when he went from Aberdeen to Celtic but he certainly won't be anywhere near the highest paid bracket of players.
And if you had that information 17 minutes ago, you'd have seven and beat the pundit.
Exactly. Yeah. This is Johnny Hayes' chance to further his pension fund, if you like.
I totally agree, Roger. That's what that was my point.
2 or 3 years at a club like Swansea or Stoke, in all honesty, what it says about his football career is less important to Johnny Hayes, I would imagine, than ensuring his family set up for the rest of their lives, which a deal for a Swansea or a Stoke could give him.
Let's get Scott back in on this. What do you make of the panel there?
I mean, fair enough. If you were going to look at it as a sheer monetary thing, fair dues, you're doing to Swansea. Stoke out, because Stoke could get done this season. Do you even want to look at Stoke at this precise time? I'm sure Johnny Hayes wouldn't want to go down and play in League One in England. Let's be honest, no matter what the money is. All I would say is, we lost Michael Lustig in the summer there. Michael Lustig was a fantastic servant at Celtic. Good in the dressing room, good in the pitch. And what people maybe have missed is, as soon as Neil Lennon came back to Celtic, Michael Lustig was straight in the first team. Who else was straight back into the first team round about the squad? Johnny Hayes. He's one in. Neil Lennon was the same the first time round as well. He had 3 or 4 players that were his go-to guys. They would play week in, week out. No matter if they were half fit, they would still play. And Johnny Hayes is now that in the squad. He's one of his trusted players. A guy who can play left side midfield, left side up front. He could probably play over on the right side as well. He's a versatile player. And yeah, he might not get the same money. But see, sometimes when you get to a stage in your career, I would be probably quite better if you said to Johnny Hayes, Johnny, you'll play 20 games a season, you'll be a backup player, but you'll be involved in every week, you'll be in my squad every week. Johnny Hayes would jump at that.
I don't think there's any doubt that Johnny Hayes will be in the squad. You know, and you're saying there, Lustig right back in the team, he's got 3 or 4. Johnny Hayes probably does his best work off the bench. He's not a regular in the, when everybody's fit and the big games are there. He's not a regular in the starting 11. But I do understand Scott's point. But what Roger is saying as well, yeah, there are finances to look at because of this is probably his last contract. Secondly, I just think that if he's not going to be guaranteed 20-25 games, then he's got to go and play football at the end of his career. You just can't sit in the bench and every now and again get a game. You're at the stage of your career that, you know, careers go very quickly, and you look back and you think, I wish I'd made this move and played more games. Okay, you're not guaranteed whether it's Swansea, Stoke or whatever. But I just think the fact that the carrot's there, that it's not like he's leaving Celtic to go to a championship team in Scotland or a League One team. And he's going to the championship in England, which is a very, very strong league indeed. So if he's not guaranteed day games, then I think it's best for him to go. But I think Neil Lennon obviously likes Johnny Hayes, and I think he'd be very keen to sign him up.
If you have an opinion on this, the number is 0141 951 1025. Thank you to Scott and Barmulloch. We'll continue this chat after this.
Clyde One's Cash for Kids Mission Christmas, in partnership with Wholesale Domestic Bathrooms Hillington, improving the future for thousands of children.
So listen, Christmas should be a time for families and for celebration, but unfortunately for thousands of children across Glasgow and the West, it is just another day. We want to make Christmas a different day for these kids. Different means having money in the meter, a hot meal, or maybe even a small gift as well. And you can make this happen by supporting Clyde One's Cash for Kids Mission Christmas this year. To hear exactly what difference your money makes, just listen to this.
We have 2 young girls who support mothers who are currently having treatment for cancer. They are the main carer in the family, and they have younger siblings to look after as well. They're both around the age of 10. They attend play sessions, which allow them just to have an hour and a half a week of being children again. They want to help, they want to look after that parent, but we have to recognise the stress and the strain that that puts on a child when lots of adults would struggle to cope with something like that. And it's a huge support for them just to have time to be a child again.
That's Lorna from Project 31 that does fantastic work. And you know, we can't always make it a magical day, but with your help, we can make it a different day for thousands of kids across Glasgow and the West with Cash for Kids Mission Christmas with Wholesale Domestic Bathrooms Hillington and Clyde One. If you want to ensure your donation helps a child right here in Glasgow and the West this Christmas, then please help Cash for Kids. To donate the money to this year's Mission Christmas appeal, all you need to do is head online now to clyde1.com. Clyde One Super Scoreboard continues next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Getting you full compensation is their goal. Talk to Thompson's.com.
It's just coming up to 7:30 on Tuesday night. Kickoff is just around 50 minutes away at Hampden. We'll check in with Alison Conroy in the next 10 minutes. She's our reporter there tonight. And it's the same team that started against Cyprus on Saturday. But we should kick off the full-time teaser. And it is a good one tonight. Roger Hannah and Gordon Diel in the studio with me, Stephen Mill, in for Gordon Duncan. So, here it is. And you can get involved at Clyde SSB on Twitter. And it's a good one. So it's beginning in 2014. And not including tonight's starting lineup, there are 12 players who have won only one cap for Scotland. Okay? One cap wonders. So not including the starting lineup tonight.
Wilson would have come in if it wasn't 2014.
Yeah. Beginning in 2014. So we had to cut it off because there's actually quite a lot of players who've only got one cap for Scotland. So if you want to get involved, it's at Clyde SSB on Twitter. Any first shouts in the studio, lads?
Eamon Brophy.
Eamon Brophy is a correct answer.
Oh, brilliant, mate.
He will win his second cap if he comes on tonight.
Cooper's got more than one in him. I'm hopeless at these things.
I mean, he's only got one so far. I thought, Roger, you'd be right.
What about Chris Cadden?
Chris Cadden?
What a shout, Roger Hanna. No, I don't think
so. He's not on the list.
First of two.
It's not on the list. I think he played in both those games, yeah. But that's not a bad
Stevie May
pair of games. Stevie May has one cap.
Is on the list.
He is on the list.
There's a programme that's the presenter says that he is on the list. He's not on the list. I feel like I'm on telly now.
See, this is a sitcom going to your head. You think you're on the telly now? That's what
I'm in character now.
So I'll repeat that one more time in case you missed it. So beginning in 2014 and not including tonight's starting lineup, there are 12 players who have only won one cap for Scotland. Who are they? We've got Stevie May and Eamon Brophy, thanks to Roger Hannah. If you want to get involved, it's at Clyde SSB. So we'll keep that teaser going. Whoa, between
that, that was a slap.
It was. I prefer Duncan.
Yeah. You need to get your finger out here, Gordon. Come on. At Clyde SSB.
We'll do I don't, because I'm picking Gordon up on Thursday. I'm fine.
Any more final guesses before we move on and chat with you about Scotland again? Roger Hanna.
Are there a goalkeeper in there?
There is a goalkeeper.
I know,
there.
I can't remember his name, but
there is a goalkeeper.
Played with Scotland once.
He played with Scotland once.
Yep. He's on the list.
2014 onwards, including 2014. I should point out.
Plays in goals, Roger. Usually wears the gloves.
Yeah.
Scott Bain got more than one cap, didn't he?
Yeah. He's got more than one cap.
Cammy Bell.
Incorrect. Oh. Not on the list. So he's either.
He got one cap under Craig Levein. It'll be too early.
It'll be too early. So it's beginning in 2014. So I'll leave that with you just now. We'll have a wee chat about Scotland. It is the same starting lineup that starts against Cyprus. Starts against Kazakhstan. The same 11 that started against Cyprus. Surprised, Gordon Diel? Are you thinking that it's, you know, you mentioned earlier on John Fleck might have been a wee shout for starting in midfield, because we know what Callum McGregor can do. We know what Ryan Christie can do, etc.
Yeah, that's. I'm not surprised. I can see the logic behind it. Give the team a good result in Cyprus, and on you go again. It's at home, another opportunity to see what they can do. As I said, I just look at Callum McGregor. We know he'll be a certain pick when it comes to March. If fit, he'll be a certain pick. He's played a lot of football, the boy. Why not give someone like Fleck, who's playing very well in the Premier League with Sheffield United, why not give him the couple of games and just give Callum McGregor a little bit of rest? I'm sure Neil Lennon would appreciate it as well, but McGregor just keeps going and going and going. He just seems one of these boys that plays every single football match that comes along. But I just thought if there was one choice tonight, because I looked at the bench, there's nobody really else in there. We know what Armstrong can do in the middle of the park. McBurney up front, yeah, we know what he can do. Maybe some people say he's not had a fair crack at the whip. But I just think that Fleck deserved, maybe like Ryan Jack, to get the two games.
Let's go to the lines and speak to Stephen in Greenock, although he's not in Greenock just now. You're walking to Hampden, Stephen. How are you doing, Stephen? Are you all right?
From Greenock.
We can't hear Stephen.
It's a long walk, that.
It's a very long walk, unfortunately. We can't hear Stephen at this moment in time. And we'll try and get him back on the line, but he was walking along to Hampden. I think he was going to say that, you know, his point was, it's quite negative towards tonight's game
what's negative, Stephen?
In terms of the feel around the game, you were saying earlier on, I know it's a cold night and all the rest of it, but the crowd and all the rest of it, it's not going to be a massive crowd, and you know, it doesn't really mean much in the grand scheme of things, but we're only 180 minutes away from a major tournament, which is the closest we've been in quite some time.
Yeah, as I said earlier, I don't feel the love for it tonight, I've got to say, and I said that earlier. I'm more interested in March, because I'm not even looking tonight thinking, right, will he experiment in a formation? Because we've not got Ryan Fraser, for instance, you know, Robertson, McTominay, who I think will play, Tierney, who I think will play. There's maybe another one or two in there which you don't think, right, okay, they're not there. So he can't really experiment by saying, right, we can work on things tonight leading us into March. So I've got to, as I said earlier, just sit and listen to the lads on the flight coming up here today. And the enthusiasm of being at Cyprus and then coming back here, you're landing in Scotland, it's about -4, they've got the kilts on, they're away to Hampden to stand there and support their country again. And that is absolutely brilliant. I really take my hat off to them. But I think that anybody going along tonight, it's just a case of hope that we get a good win, good performance, it will be a cold night, go and support the country, but everything leads up to March.
Stephen is on the line, and you're nearly completed your walk to Hampden, I'm guessing. How are you doing tonight, Stephen? You all right?
I'm all right. I've completed it while I've been on hold. I'm walking round the back of the Rangers end, the West Stand, to get to the South Stand at the moment. The first wee quick point I wanted to make was something Gordon had said earlier. He said Ryan Christie's one of our best players, if not the best player, and I totally agree. The first name in the team sheet at the moment, he scored 4 goals in 2 games, is John McGinn. So that's 2 of your central midfield, kind of 3 if you're playing a 4-5-1 formation. And they also said that Callum McGregor must start, and he said similar for Scott McTominay. So just as a wee quick point, who do the guys think out of the 4 of them gets dropped when we do get to March?
It's a great headache if everybody's fit, you've got to say. See, be honest with you, Steve, I can't answer that, because it's up to Stevie Clarke to decide who he thinks on that day.
If Gordon DL, the Scotland manager, had to choose, though,
at home your
hip would be sore if you'd got off that fence.
No, at home I would certainly play Christie, because I think that he is a goal threat from that position. I think McGinn has got to play.
Mm-hmm.
I think Callum McGregor would play. I would play 12. I think we've got a great chance of winning.
If Scotland win tonight and play well, the 5 who are playing in the midfield 5 are in possession for me.
No chance. Absolutely.
I don't think
no
McTominay comes back.
Do you agree with that? Do you agree with that, Stephen? Ryan Jack, if he plays well tonight, he'll keep his
no chance.
No, I think Ryan Jack's about 5th or 6th choice for centre midfield. But I think what we could see is the likes of Ryan Fraser cutting his nose off despite his face, because what I could see is going forward with your two sitters is McGregor and McTominay, John McGinn slightly in front of them, and Ryan Christie, although his best position is number 10, Ryan Christie almost covering the left into the number 10, James Forrest the right into the number 10. It being quite a narrow 4-2-3-1.
Yeah, well Christie's played
in a big tight game.
Yeah, Chris,
I could see that being the way it goes, and it's actually Ryan Fraser.
Yeah, Christie's played there, Stephen, with Celtic. He's played in that position. I don't think it's his best position. I'll get back to you. I think that for an important game like this, I think big decisions have got to be made, because that is certainly a big decision. You look at Ryan Fraser, there's talks of a massive move to Liverpool. So how he's rated down in England, so you would imagine that he's probably in with a shout as well. I think it's a great position for Stevie Clarke to be in, because our midfield is really, really strong. You've got to say that's probably our strongest part of the team, in the middle of the park, and you've got some really, really talented players in there. You three, I tell you, Stephen, I wish you...
It's a conundrum. If I can just make another point just before I quickly go in, because you'll probably not be able to hear me when I go in. It was really frustrating listening to the show on the way up in the car tonight.
I think it was Ronnie, the Eternal Optimist, was called from somewhere like Carluke.
Yeah.
He phoned up, and the last thing he was claimed to be a Scotland supporter, as everything was us and we. But the last thing on earth that man wanted to do tonight was go and watch Scotland. So that sums up everything for me, because if people don't want to come and watch Scotland, why would someone who's not made themselves available, for example, a Matt Ritchie, why would he want to bother himself to come away from his family and his, what they refer to as like the rest time when it's internationals? And I think it all is the one big problem, because we've got the media. We're laughing and joking earlier on in the show, and I get it's a bit of banter, but earlier on in the show it was almost, these guys are a valiant effort, and almost they want their head checking for their loyalty. But no, this is your country, and your country's playing. I don't care if Scotland's playing Kazakhstan, France, Germany, whoever. I'm here to watch Scotland. But over my time, I'm only 28, but over my time coming to watch Scotland, there's definitely been a shift of people who are going to watch Scotland, and it's now, oh, I'd like to go and watch Scotland when they're playing a big game. I mean, some of my family couldn't make it tonight, just as our commitments on, and had tickets for the game, but couldn't make it, and I genuinely couldn't give them tickets away. People in my work, people that I go to Capello with, and things like that, I couldn't give tickets away to watch Scotland tonight, And that is a big, massive problem. I think part of the media to blame.
Stephen, being there, is
what
it?
What part of the media to blame that folk don't want to take tickets for Scotland and Kazakhstan?
Because there is absolute negativity from the media about the Scottish national team all the time, but I think there's a lot of people to blame.
I'll challenge you now. What part of the media tonight has been negative about Scotland? The easiest thing in the world is for you to come on the phone and say, the media has been negative. The media report the result. Do you want us to sing and dance when Scotland lose 3-0 in Kazakhstan and say what a terrific result that was, chaps?
And that was justified. I completely agleed with that. I thought that Alex McLeish should have fell on his sword that very night. But what I mean is that the media are a part of what is in general. Another part, for example, the SFA and the SPFL. Like I said, I'm a Morton supporter. On Saturday, Morton had a competitive league game at the same time as a Scotland competitive international fixture. Yeah. Now, Morton are not...
I agree with that point.
The smallest. So that's another point in things. Obviously, you've got the fact that the team are performing really poorly.
And up the country, Dundee United, who are going for the title, had to play without their best player.
Exactly. So all of these are points that go up to the general negativity. And I just there's no cast iron weight other than winning games, but... For example, when Gordon Strachan was the manager at the end of the Gordon Strachan regime, there was a general positivity because we were winning games. And that is the only way it's going to come back with Steve Clarke. But my final point about negativity in the media, I completely get what you're saying, that there's not been any negativity in the media this evening. The calls have been negative. That's not your guys' fault. But you're kidding me on if you think that the media are very positive about Scotland.
Stephen, hurry up. The teams are coming out, mate.
There's a lot of negativity about Scotland in the media.
Read the columnists in my newspapers, the Scottish Sun.
You're going to let Stephen miss again.
Davy Provan and Bill Leckie, the last couple of days have been imploring the SPFA and the SPFL to get their heads together and give Steve Clarke time before the playoff game. Cancel club games. Give the manager as much help as possible. That's positivity for the media. When it doesn't happen, the negativity is coming out of Hampden, not out of newspapers or radio stations.
So, Stephen, thank you very much. I know you're inside the stadium now. Fingers crossed for all 3 points for Scotland tonight. We'll hear from Alison Conroy, a reporter inside the stadium, next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. They play to win every time. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Let's go straight to Hampden and speak to Alison Conroy. What's it looking like just before kickoff, Alison?
The teams are out, just about to get underway. A very chilly Hampden. Not a fantastic crowd, but it's probably around the 20,000 mark that was expected for this final Group I match as Scotland look to make it 3 straight wins at the end of this campaign, and we are underway, Stephen.
Okay, I hope you've got your portable heater on. I think producer Andy showed me a photo, actually. She has got her portable
Peter
heater.
Peter Heater, it's called.
Yeah, is that what it's called?
Yes, we share that. Every ground we go to, Peter Heater goes with us.
Well, I'm sure it'll be back out many times over the course of the winter.
It'll be back out on Saturday.
We'll keep you updated with everything that's happening at Hampden. As soon as a goal goes in, we will let you know about a chance as well. Let's go back to the full-time teaser, though. Beginning in 2014, and not including tonight, starting lineup. There are 12 players who've only won one cap for Scotland. Who are they? Already got Stevie May and Eamon Brophy, thanks to Roger Hannah. But I believe that Gordon DL might have a couple of correct answers. Hit me. Go for it.
Right, I'm going John Fleck, just in case MD gets injured and he comes on quickly. Yes,
John Fleck is a correct answer.
Yes. And he scored in his only cap, Stuart Finlay. Header.
Is a correct answer.
That's me.
Well done. Well done. I think you, I don't know.
What
I think
about,
you might.
I'm just thinking there off air. You were revealing all sorts about yourself off air, Stephen. You went to Peru to watch Scotland.
I certainly did, yeah. Me and my two mates flew to Peru.
Did Lewis Stevenson win his only cap in Peru?
Roger, take a bow.
I think I was one. I think there was 213 Scotland fans there, and they would have witnessed that Lewis Stevenson win his only cap for Scotland.
Now you've got me thinking. What about Jamie Murphy?
This man is on fire.
It's an incorrect answer.
He's not on the list. Dylan McGeoch?
No. Is he?
Dylan McGeoch
is on
not a correct answer. I think he has more than one cap.
I think some other one. What about looking at the bench tonight? Daz mentioned John Flight. Lewis Morgan, has he got more than one cap?
He is not on the list. He must have more than one cap. If you go back to the Peru game, I think there are a couple of more players from that game.
What
year was that?
Just last year.
2018, yeah. So a World Cup warm-up match for Peru.
Did you go there?
The goalie.
Seriously?
In Lima.
Was the goalie Jordan Archer?
Correct. The goalie you were thinking of, Gordon Dale, I'm sure.
I wouldn't have got him.
Was Jordan Archer.
I wouldn't have got him. I'd been here all night.
So,
I've got one.
Go for it.
Scored a famous goal for Celtic. Tony Watt.
You're so close to the right answer.
Nah.
But that means it's a wrong answer.
You are right. It's Tony Watt. Is a correct answer. Correct. How'd you go in there? Well done. That is one there.
Right, Roger, I'm finished.
There's lots of people saying Mark Wilson on Clyde SSB. That's before 2014.
Talking about that, did Mark Reynolds play in that too?
Not to my knowledge.
No,
I don't think Mark so. Reynolds, he's not on the list. He's not on the list. I actually think Mark Reynolds might have more than one cap as well. Yeah.
Are there any more on the bench tonight, Roger? Who's on
there
the
is
bench?
One player who is playing tonight, winning his second cap, who would have qualified for this question.
Declan Gallagher
is the correct answer. Yeah. Yes.
What about Jason Cummings?
Jason Cummings is not a correct answer.
Not a correct answer.
So you have 1, 2, 3, 4 to get.
Get. 5 to get.
Make it 4.
Murray Davidson.
2, 3, 4 is incorrect. Yeah. Apologies, you do have 5 to get.
5.
Barry Douglas
is correct.
God, Roger.
This is quite impressive.
Yeah.
Just trying to think.
Ian Black did get a cap 7 years ago today.
7 years ago. Oh,
so unfortunately. That was 2012. He won the cap.
Hold on a minute then. If you're going. Was that with Rangers?
Aye.
Did Barry Mackay get one then?
Look at him. He's on fire. Barry Mackay is a correct answer.
That's sensational.
You've got 2 to get. Whoa. By the way, I was right. So you've got 2 to get.
Who have I got so far?
You have Stevie May, Tony Watt, Barry Mackay, Lewis Stevenson, Barry Douglas, Jordan Archer, Declan Gallagher before tonight, John Fleck, Stuart Finlay and Eamon Brophy. So you've got 2 to get.
Oh,
okay.
I bet they're the hardest.
Yeah. By the way, so
any goalies,
Gordon usually tells me and we keep it from Roger.
Listen, you were trying to wind me up last week, so I'm not falling for this, the substitute teacher here thing. By the way, nothing happening really at Hampden, just keeping an eye on that for you, and nothing much happening in terms of what else is happening. What else happened in the weekend in terms of Partick Thistle? They've got a couple of they've got a big cup match at the weekend against Pennycook, a very large travelling support. 1,500 Pennycook supporters are going to be at Fir Hill on Saturday. That's a very impressive travelling support for our East of Scotland league team.
This is when the Scottish Cup starts getting interest in the third round. The big championship teams are in, and the draw has been good. Partick against Pennycook, Morton against Brora Rangers of the Highland League. And my favourite tie of all, Dick Campbell will take a Broth down to Auchinleck Talbot, where Ayr United lost last season. I think that'll be a terrific game. So the Cup's getting exciting again. And, you know, Pennycook, they already have a league scald. They put Stenhouse Muir out in the last round. Partick Thistle might need to trade Whaley.
Mm-hmm, I think they will. Ian McCall, obviously, he won't be under any pressure of sorts, but a defeat against Pennycook won't help him very much, will it?
It won't happen. Especially at home.
The romance of the cup?
Not at the early stage. If it was away to Pennycook, you're thinking like a Broth going to Auchinleck.
Yeah.
What a tie that's going to be. I would hate to be the ball in that game. I really would. But I think it'll be an absolute great cup tie down there, and you could see Auchinleck winning that. But Dick Campbell is a very experienced manager, been all these grounds before, so he'll have his players up for it as well. But Pennycook coming to Firhill, Ian McCall at home, Partick Thistle, so I just think they'll have too much.
The breaking news tonight from the English Premier League, Tottenham have just sacked Maurizio Pochettino.
No way, really?
Here's Mourinho coming.
Just been confirmed in the last few seconds. Pochettino is leaving Tottenham Hotspur, or has left Tottenham Hotspur. So maybe if Dick Campbell can get that win at Auchinleck, he might just come to Daniel Levy's notice.
No, Mourinho's in for that, is he not?
I mean, that's very... Considering he got to the Champions League final last season, I know they're
Champions
not...
League final 6 months, less than 6 months ago.
Yeah, and he's been binned. I know they've not been having a particularly great season, but yeah, that is some big news. So I think if Man United might have held off in the summer, they might have appointed him.
Yeah, well, there's still plenty of time. Look, I don't feel sorry for these guys. I really don't. At the end of the day, they're multimillionaires, and let me say, he will walk into another big job anyway. So it's just a different place he's going to. So I am not feeling sorry for these kind of guys. I feel sorry for the guys at lower leagues that work 24 hours for buttons and all sorts of weather, try to find training pitches, try to do their best for their small band of supporters that put the effort, the commitment and the time in. And I'm not including Mark Wilson.
And on behalf of my journalistic colleagues south of the border, could they not have done this at 9:45 this morning rather than 7:45 tonight?
Mm-hmm. Back to office for you, is it?
No, it will be for those chaps.
Yeah, I would imagine so. So that's the breaking news, that Mauricio Pochettino has been sacked as Spurs manager, and it's still 0-0 at Hampden between Scotland and Kazakhstan. You were mentioning the guys in the lower leagues who are, you know, working for buttons. Is there any other manager aside from Dick Campbell? He knows those divisions so well, but it'll still be a tricky match down at Auchinleck on Saturday. You think if there's anyone who knows how to negotiate something like that, it would be him.
1,000,000%. 1,000,000%. I think the modern day manager is, you know, it's a younger type now, with new ideas and different ways and different styles. Dick is not into all the sort of a video stuff. Dick's more a motivator.
Betamax if Dick was into video stuff.
he's more a motivator. He's a man's manager. He can get to you. He can get you playing. He can get you working. I just think for a game like that, then I would be very confident Dick Campbell can go down and motivate his team to go and get a result. But let me say, Tucker Sloan down there, what a job at Auchinleck.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I've known Tucker since my days at Ayr. A fantastic boy, works his backside off, and he's had so much success down there. He will make it very difficult for him.
You mentioned Partick Thistle there playing Pennycook.
Yes.
Stephen Saunders isn't one of the answers in the teaser, is he?
Stephen Saunders is not a correct answer.
One cap, but I remember it against the Pharaohs at Pittodrie. It must have been earlier than that.
We're rapidly approaching the end of the show, so we need to get this full-time teaser wrapped up. Still 0-0 at Hampden. And
give us a clue,
give you some clue. Right. One of them used to play with Celtic and now plays for Swindon Town.
Paul Caddis.
Just re-signed for them today, didn't he?
Is the correct answer. The other one plays for Hull City.
Hull City, along here.
Hull City. Oh, I don't know if he's got long hair.
No,
or
you're thinking of George Boyd.
Boyd, yeah.
No, he used to.
Ah, oh, come on, lads.
He's out of position.
You've got 55 seconds left. He is a left-sided defender, I think. Yeah.
Oh, Stephen Kingsley.
Stephen Kingsley.
I would never have got that.
Right answer. You did all right there, Gordon. I think you can hold your head up.
Thank you, mate. Wait till Thursday.
Yeah. Right, that is it for Super Scoreboard for tonight. I will be back tomorrow night with Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi. My thanks go to Roger Hanna and also to Gordon DL as well. Beat the Pundit will be back tomorrow night. And Callum Gallagher is up next. The wee man is on, and he'll be playing Lewis Capaldi's brand new single as well. You have a cracking Tuesday night, folks.
Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation you deserve. When there's been foul play, talk to Thompson's.com.